Hi there. I'm Mary Hartman, Director of Education at Bard on the Beach, and this is Macbeth in a Nutshell. Before I begin, I'd like to invite you to learn more about the location of our Shakespeare Festival. It's been called Snawk for more than 1,000 years by the Squamish, Musqueam, and Tsleil-Waututh peoples. You can learn more on our website, in your house program, or near the entrance to our festival site. I'd also like to take a moment to thank the sponsor of the In a Nutshell Talks, Global BC. When people think of Shakespeare's tragedy of Macbeth, they immediately think of the witches. And the term witches implies some very specific notions around gender, appearance, social position, and power. But here's the thing. It's possible that Shakespeare never intended for these characters to be thought of as witches. In a lecture delivered in 1818, Samuel Taylor Coleridge challenged the idea of witches in the play, declaring, "We must not be deluded by stage directions." You see, it's only in the stage directions that these characters are called witches, and these may have been written by someone other than Shakespeare. The only time we hear a character speak the word witch is when one of the three reports an insult. In Shakespeare's source for the play, Holinshed's Chronicles of Scotland, they're described as three women in strange and wild attire, resembling creatures of the elder world. And when the astrologer Simon Forman saw Shakespeare's play performed in 1611, he described the three characters as nymphs or fairies. So there's lots of room for interpretation as we imagine these characters and think about what they might look like and what they might represent. That same room for interpretation applies to Shakespeare production in general. Unlike a lot of other plays, Shakespeare's are remarkably open to reimagining and reframing, and are transported to a wide range of settings in performance. For a play that delves into the depths of what frightens us most, a potent setting might be the near future, in a post-urban dystopia in which society has collapsed, the very air is toxic, and violence is everywhere. And that's what we have with our production this season. The play begins with three unusual creatures whose voices and bodies seem to have become disfigured in some way. We learn little from them, only that they plan to meet with Macbeth. We then witness a battle in action, with found weapons and hand-to-hand combat. Along with King Duncan and his followers, we hear about the rebel MacDonald, the treacherous Thane of Cawdor, and the heroic Macbeth, who with valor and violence has defeated them. Duncan sentences the Thane of Cawdor to death and decides to give that title to Macbeth. Meanwhile, as Macbeth and his friend Banquo are returning from the battle, the three unusual characters appear again and greet Macbeth, first by his current title, Thane of Glamis, then by his new, but as yet unknown to him, title, Thane of Cawdor. Finally, they declare that he shall be king hereafter. Before Macbeth can ask questions, the creatures vanish. Messengers arrive with news that the king has named Macbeth Thane of Cawdor. The first prophecy has come true, and the wheels start turning in Macbeth's mind. The action then moves to a sort of underground bunker, the home of Macbeth and his wife, Lady Macbeth. Macbeth has shared the prophecies with his wife and arrives home with more news. The king and his followers are on their way to celebrate their victory in the Macbeth's home. That evening, as the guests enjoy the revels, Macbeth contemplates murdering Duncan to fulfill the prophecy, but concludes, "I have no spur to prick the sides of my intent." Lady Macbeth then enters and provides a spur. You may have heard of a superstition among theater folks that Macbeth is a cursed play. Some actors won't quote the play and get upset if someone else does. And some won't even utter the name Macbeth unless they're in a production and there's no avoiding it. They'll refer to the title character as the Thane or the Scottish Lord, and to his wife as Lady M. When mentioning the play itself, they'll call it Mackers or the Scottish play. Another aspect of this curse is a belief that bad things happen when the play is produced, and there seems to be an endless string of mishaps that have been attributed to this tradition. Honestly, it's unlikely there are more mishaps connected to this play than to any other. It's just that every time something does go wrong, people talk about the curse, and these little mishaps, which would be unremarkable in other circumstances, are held up as proof of the curse, and so it becomes a self-fulfilling phenomenon. But curse or no curse, Macbeth dives headlong into frightening territory, asking big questions about supernatural forces, human agency, and how we find our way through challenging times. Macbeth is playing on our BMO main stage until September 18th. We hope you'll come see all the plays in our 2026 season. You can find the details at bardonthebeach.org. Thank you for listening, and I hope you have a wonderful time at Bard on the Beach.